The second reading is from Acts, the second chapter. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as a fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now they were dwelling in Jerusalem, Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound, the multitude came together, and they were bewildered, because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in his own native language? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians, we hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God." And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others, mocking, said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea, and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be made known to you, and give ear to my words. For these men are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. In the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my male servants and female servants in those days I will pour out my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heavens above, and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the day the Lord comes, the great and magnificent day. It shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. In the holy name of Jesus, amen. Pentecost is a premier Christian holy day, but since it doesn't have the glitz and glamour of Christmas and Easter, or create large family gatherings where big holiday meals are prepared, it doesn't always seem like a prime time Christian holiday. We're mostly familiar with the story of Pentecost. Fire rested on the disciples' heads, and the disciples were preaching the gospel in languages they'd never learned. It seems odd that the Holy Spirit would cause people to speak in languages they've never learned before. But this phenomenon isn't just an odd bit of history. Rather, God reversed what he did in the Old Testament reading. In Genesis 11, the whole earth shared one language, and people from far off places came to work on building a large tower, spanning into the heavens. This is commonly called the Tower of Babel. They did it to make a name for themselves. That's a subtle detail in the text, but it shows that they live their life to their own glory, not to the glory of God. That they didn't want to live as God's children, but as children of sinful man. As a result of this rebellion, God confused their language and scattered the people to the ends of the earth. And now, instead of having languages unite folks, it distanced folks. And that leads us up to Pentecost, when God reversed the Tower of Babel language problem. When the disciples spoke in different languages so that those who gathered from far-off countries could be unified in one language. And these words weren't the words of man, but it was the Holy Spirit which gave utterance to their words. The surrounding folks thought that they were either crazy or drunk. until they started to hear the words, which united all mankind. That is, they heard the gospel of Jesus' death and resurrection. Each person heard it in their own native language, but the words which united them was the word of God, given through the Spirit. And God's Spirit was poured out on them, just as the prophet Joel prophesied, "In the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh." However, Pentecost brings more than just a spectacle or a miracle. It is more than just a singular moment in history. Pentecost connects you to the resurrection. Because at Pentecost, the Holy Spirit arrives, who brings Jesus to you. And the Holy Spirit takes the uncertain, fearful, hesitant disciples, and he emboldens and inspires them so that when they open their mouths, it is Jesus himself who comes out. And so Jesus promised his disciples when he said in John 14:26, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you." The Holy Spirit, which came at Pentecost, interpreted everything Jesus had taught them, though through the lens of the cross, through the lens of his suffering and death as the payment for all sin. So this Holy Spirit is a teacher, teaching that all who have this Holy Spirit subsist in the church, which is none other than subsisting in the body of Christ himself. That same Holy Spirit builds the church, gathering together the folks who've heard Jesus, teaching them and making them holy. Without Pentecost, the crucifixion would be a distant memory, and the resurrection would be a bit of odd history. But when Jesus ascends to his Father, he gives you his promised Spirit to make good on his word, "Lo, I am with you always to the very end of the age." It may not be as discernible to the human eye as it was on the first Christian Pentecost when the Holy Spirit appeared like fire. But every time you gather for the divine service, you have yourselves a little Pentecost. But it doesn't look like the pastor speaking in a different language, unrecognizable to all who gather. And it doesn't look like the congregation spontaneously busting out in tongues. Rather, in the divine service, we have a little Pentecost because the Holy Spirit brings Christ to you, and you receive the gift of victory over death. That's what happened at the first Pentecost. People were converted to Christianity, and that becomes evident when you peel back the story and look past the spectacle of speaking in tongues. Eventually, you'll see that every time you confess your sins, every time the word is spoken and preached, and every time we celebrate the Eucharist, the Spirit is poured out upon you. The same Spirit who gave new life to the apostles and breathed life into the church. That same Spirit is here in these gifts, gathering, teaching, and making you holy. If we're having a little Pentecost each Sunday, then it seems Pentecost should deserve a bit more festivity. Because it is a premier Christian holy day. Because it's the day that keeps the feast from ending. It's the day that Christ bundles up his death and resurrection, and with a divine breath, spreads his joy to the ends of the earth. That's a reason for a party. So let's celebrate. In the holy name of Jesus, amen.